Hey, what's good, everybody? Thank y'all for tuning in again to another live podcast of The Fade Hour from your people here at Ringside Rave. I'm your host, you know, the golden voice, Maul Bruising Boxing. Got me another 13% coffee stout. Already done cracked it. Probably will be able to finish in this 30-minute cast, but, you know, I'm joined by my usual cast, the Bandits, who I will step aside and allow them to introduce themselves at right now.
What up, world? It's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Right now, I'm feeling real good. Got the sour diesel on me. About to go ahead and get into this platinum OG, you know, to balance the buzz. You know, I did the sativa, so you know you got to get the indica for the chill. So I'm about to chill it out.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke from at Free Smoke Boxing, a.k.a. Mr. Gas Station Stunner Shades, a.k.a. Don of the Target Drip. And I am on a smoke break so I can procreate in the future. So I'm just chilling here with some H2O. Let's get to it.
Yo, what's good, yo? It's Pat Scorpio, the New England representative. And I'm chilling here, of course, with my usual glass of Merlot, you know, the after-dinner shit after eating rice and fish. So let's get to this, man.
Bet, man. And obviously, y'all know this is fight week. So the Spence and Garcia fight is going to dominate the cast for the next few days. But let's build up to that. And let's first talk about actually the card that we had this past weekend. I'm going to let News tell y'all about the numbers, the viewership. And it's kind of surprising that it had as many people viewing it as it did. But News, what was the official viewership for it?
Man, so I've seen the numbers that were at like about peaked at 2.197 million views. And to me as a follower of boxing and a hardcore fan, that's a lot to me for Sean Porter. Now, I've seen the numbers via another source. And the way they reported the numbers was with a downward slant, of course, comparing it to Keith Thurman's fight against Jose Cito Lopez, not adding in the context that Sean Porter is not nearly the draw that Keith Thurman is. So Sean Porter doing damn near 2.2 million with a Ugas, who is not a draw, is definitely surprising to me. Right. So I thought those numbers were great. I thought those were great for that type of fight.
I mean, news told us the numbers right before we came on air, and I literally said 2.2 million. And that's great, and it's great for boxing because, you know, we need people. You know, granted, the fight, not the greatest, but you did have young FA on the card, and it's just a really good thing for boxing, especially because we're starting to see all these pay-per-views come back for fights that aren't necessarily pay-per-view worthy. And it's just good to see that it's flourishing on free TV.
Right.
I mean, in context, I mean, Fox, I mean, the numbers at Fox, I mean, you have reruns that actually got higher ratings than that. I mean, it's not like the 6 million that Spence got, you know, from the Olympic, you know, from the whole Olympic thing, you know, because this fight was after that. I mean, 2.2 on prime time on Saturday is not the greatest, but, you know, it is surprising because I thought it would be lower. Well, I thought it would be, you know, Santo Cruz status, you know, or something like that. So, but with Fox, though, I mean, even fucking Devin Alexander and Victor Ortiz got over a million viewers, man. So, I mean, it's really hard to actually put what really is success when you're on free TV with those type of ratings. What's really a successful rating and what's not?
But you got to also put in the context of the fighter. Again, it's Sean Porter
versus your Ugas.
If Ugas was in the main event as the A side versus who, what type of numbers will we get? Sean Porter is not supposed to be doing the 2.2 because he's usually the B side in the 2 million fights. Like you said, you would think that it would have been on a Leo Santa Cruz level, which is why I'm saying it's more surprising because neither of the guys are draws. Like if you looked in the arena, nobody was there. Nope. If we're going to be honest about it, like, nobody was really there. But it looks like people tuned in. So at the end of the day, if a Sean Porter can get you $2.2 million versus Ugas, and a Keith Thurman can get you $2.4, $2.5 versus Jose Cito Lopez, then what happens when you put a Keith Thurman versus Earl Spence on Fox?
Or
like, that's what it's built into. So to me, that's what the numbers, the detail. Everybody's trying to compare like it's not a, it wasn't a super clash of two star fighters. It was Sean Porter versus Ugas. I thought the numbers were good for that type of level fight.
I think actually they're fantastic for that fight. I mean, you replace Sean Porter in the main event with a Deontay Wilder, a Mikey Garcia, a Gervonta Davis on Fox. I mean, come on, man. I mean, those numbers will be hitting, you know, maybe even 3 or 4 million.
Right. Yeah. For like y'all said, for what it is, those numbers are pretty, pretty good. Good starting point too for the year. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully, as the year go on, and they see this model that they're using for the Spence and Garcia build up, they can do that for other fights that they're going to telecast on free TV. You know, the ratings will come. Just make the good fights and the people will watch. That's all it is, man.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, make the damn good fights and we will watch, man. And speaking of good fights, hopefully we're going to get some in the upcoming year, because MTK Global and they have made some moves with, correct me if I'm wrong, with ESPN and Arum, correct? To kind of co-promote some names in the UK that we're all familiar with, like Billy Joe Saunders, with Carl Frampton. What's the other name that's escaping me?
Josh Warrington.
Yeah, Warrington, right. Warrington, and also Daniel Dubose, Dynamite Daniel Dubose, coming off of, what, second round, first round win this past weekend. Yeah. Do y'all guys, I mean, we, you know, I'll ask y'all and not speak for y'all, thoughts on this?
I mean, my thoughts on it, I mean, I think it's good. It's a good thing, because in the way, too, it'll make a fight in that I actually want to see, which is Warrington versus Valdez. You know, so that corruption that existed, you know, it makes way for an interesting unification fight. It removes a barrier. With Frampton, I'm not really sure, because, like I said, he's just coming off getting his ass with Flag Warrington, so he's going to have to rebuild back up.
Right.
But in terms of where Saunders goes, I mean, it's either he goes after Zerto at 168 or whatever. I mean, I don't think there's really anything for him on that side, but, you know, I guess if you're going to start throwing money at all these fighters or whatever, you know, and of course Fury's on there and, you know, trying to get some of the deals, then, you know, more power to them.
Right.
I'm going to say this. I'm excited about Warrington and I guess to a lesser degree Frampton. But Billy Joe steroids? Billy Joe take the WBO and hide out in Europe? Billy Joe give crack to a gypsy? No, I don't want to see him on my TV. And honestly, after the shit that he pulled with the Andrade fight and not even trying to run it back, mm-hmm. like, they should be putting him on undercards. And it's really weird how boxing works that way sometimes, right? So you got to do like Billy Joe, who, yeah, he's got a big personality and he talks a lot of shit, but when was the last time he was in a fight that you were like, okay, this is entertaining, like, this is actually something that I want to watch? Yeah,
I mean, like, I was intrigued with the Lemieux fight, but he embarrassed him.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing with Saunders, for as much of an asshole he is, he can actually fight. He has skills. That's the thing we can't forget.
Right.
He can actually fight. But the fact is, you know, he's such an asshole that you actually want to see him lose. But, you know, he's
a heel.
He does what he does. He does gypsy stuff.
I don't want my viewership to cause Billy Joe Saunders to have more money. No, I'm serious. He's a shitty person.
Yeah, hey, man. Hey. But it's just like, you know, we hope for him to get knocked out. And like I said, I mean, I remember years ago when the Andy Lee and Triple G fight was being bandied about, and that only happened if Lee got by Saunders was his right. mandatory. You know, and I was just like, oh Lord, have mercy, you know, because Saunders, I knew how nice he was, and I was like, I knew this was gonna be a problem, because like if Lee doesn't land a right hook, he's gonna get embarrassed.
Yeah.
Saunders actually, one of the rare times it actually came close to actually really knocking somebody out, and then pretty much, he won that fight pretty easily.
Quick real shout out to the biggest Andy Lee fan in the world, which is our boy Doc. our boy DOC.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big Andy Lee fan.
He's the founder of the Andy Lee fan club. He calls it Kronk's Finest.
I can't be at his neck about it if I fuck with Charles Martin. So I can't even do him like that.
Man, I mean, when Andy Lee, before Andy Lee had to fight what's it called? Weight Bully. JCC Jr. Andy Lee put on some nasty ass fights, man. That right hook of his was mean. I think that Doc's a southpaw, and he's got a nasty right hook, too. So it's kind of like, goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what people who are fans of, But, yeah, that's very random. And, yeah, Andy Lee stands.
Your news, you got any thoughts on this? Or does it really move your needle?
Yeah, I like it. I like it because it gets –
Yeah, you're right. Pause.
Yeah, it gets them in the back into the playground at top rank. I'm sorry, at top rank at middleweight. Getting the BJS in there. Unless if he go up to 168, that also gives them some else there too. Because at the end of the day, Billy Joe Saunders knows how to sell a fight. He's going to be on ESPN, and that's going to make him a star quickly. Yep. Like you see how people adapted to Conor McGregor. Not saying that Billy Joe Saunders is that type of thing, but what I'm saying is Billy Joe Saunders is a trash talker in the ilk of a Conor McGregor, a Tyson Fury.
Right.
Like, he talks.
Like you said, he can sell a fight, right.
He can definitely talk that talk. He can sell a fight. And him being with ESPN through Top Rank and with the Bob Father behind him, I think that might be good there. Then you got Frampton out the deal. You got Frampton out the deal, so you can get him against Valdez?
Well, Warrington, Valdez.
I'm sorry. Warrington versus Valdez on ESPN. Like it just gets Top Rank more bullets in their gun, which they were missing.
Yeah, you can rematch Quigg and Frampton. You know what I'm saying? Right. They both need to win, you know what I'm saying?
Right. We were talking about how Top Rank don't really have people like for Terrence Crawford, but with moves like this, this is the type of moves we need to see, because that means Top Rank is looking forward to their future, and they're not going to just be stagnant with just the fighters that they have, but they will be bringing some big names and get back in the game and show you why they are the most legendary promotional company, because that's what they do.
So I want to bring up something related to this. Out of nowhere, when Canelo signed the DAZN deal, and ever since then, we have these promotional groups throwing around cash at boxers like we have literally never seen before. I mean, I wasn't around for the 80s days, and they were robbing fighters and pretending to give them big purses. But, I mean, Triple G just got multiple eight-figure paydays, and Top Rank is coming through, and they have to be giving these dudes a lot of money to leave Frank Warren or whoever it is that they were signed to. So my thing is, why did it take so long for boxers to get the respect they deserve in terms of money?
Man, I don't know.
I think it's like a domino effect. I mean, because it's like, because this wasn't happening when HBO was on, but when HBO dropped, it just seems like this is like a byproduct of, like, okay, now, okay, Showtime's going to be number two. But I think ESPN and The Zone I think had more of a plan to actually really throw money in. I think this is the reason why, you know, it was like, The Zone's like, oh, I mean, they have their, I mean, they're led by a billionaire. ESPN, you know, they have pretty deep pockets. And I think it's just, they've just started dueling each other. And, you know, and then you definitely, that's why you have Fox and PBC. They're all like, you know, trying to figure some shit out. I was like, okay, how do we compete with all this money that's thrown around? Because, you know, Fox's money is not unlimited, you know, so it's just.
So I kind of think that we're seeing something like, you know, when PBC originally came out in 2015, it was like, we're going to buy up all this TV ad time and blah, 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 blah. But they didn't give the bags to the fighters. And Adrian Broner specifically, and he wasn't the only one, he turned down a 4-fight, $40 million deal with Roc Nation Sports. And so it's just interesting because – now I think you're going to see fighters start leaving PBC.
I mean, the only people that have actually left PBC that are actually fighting on, let's say, something different is Danny Jacobs, who's the biggest example so far. I mean, he's in the biggest fight of this year so far. And then we are on a lesser scale, we have Jesse Vargas, who's currently doing whatever he's doing in obscurity.
I think Freddie Roach is his trainer this time. He just changed trainers again. So my whole thing is, do you think that this is going to be a continuing trend?
Yeah.
Mal, what do you think?
I think so, man, because I just think fighters are starting to become better businessmen. And also, it seems like the interest in boxing is picking back up again. And also just like, because it's picking up because some intriguing fights are being made. These boxers have personalities. And like I was mentioning, since they want to become businessmen, part-time fighters, part-time businessmen, hell yeah, man. And these people are willing to give them a contract. Yeah, it's gonna continue. I think, like I said, the talent is out there too. And people want money. Money first, then buy.
But my fear of all this money being thrown around, this is the fear that I have with PBC, is it makes them less, you know, risk adverse. You know,
right? Definitely.
Yeah, because right. If you throw this money around, they're gonna want to protect their investment. So you're gonna have fighters getting this money, but they're not fighting. But they're fighting some old bullshit ass fights.
Right. You give somebody you give them a 5-fight deal. They're gonna be like, I'm gonna milk these 5 fights. You know, they're gonna take me 5 years to fight these 5 fights, man. That is true, because you start giving people contracts that you feel. Honestly, there's a lot of people that's gonna get contracts I feel that they don't deserve. And then what's gonna happen is it's gonna make these motherfuckers be like, shit, I ain't gotta risk it fighting you. I'm already getting this bag, so.
You know, well, news, do you think it's going to continue to happen, or do you think it's going to just kind of be a short runoff?
I know the money's always going to continue to increase. You're always going to get the big paydays like that, and people getting them. But it's just like, I mean, I can continue to see an increase in the short term future, but I don't really have a problem with the fighters getting it on one hand, because they deserve to get it for, you know, fighting and all that. I just wish that my only thing with boxing is I just wish there was some type of way just to make sure, like, the organizations actually would rank the fighters correctly. That's my only problem. It's not even the money, man. I don't care if a fighter, like a star fighter, fights 2 times a year. If the second fighter, best fighter, fights 2 times a year against another elite fighter. And it's like, I wish they would really do that. Everybody says, like, well, they can't fight this. Like, yes, you can. You really can. It's going to make my career shorter. But, hey, if you want to make this.
Speaking of rankings, a.k.a. isn't Danny Garcia already, like, the number one contender again? Like, in the number one spot? I'm just like, how?
Al Heyman.
I don't know. I just don't know.
How?
I just wish people actually had to fight their way back from the bottom to the top.
Thank you.
Back up the ranking or something.
if I was a promoter and I was throwing around all this money, something that I would put in the contract is no tune-up fights, maybe one showcase fight. So if I'm signing, for example, if I was Eddie Hearn or whoever it was that negotiated the Canelo deal, and it's like, what, $35 million a fight or some shit like that, there is no way – well, okay, he could – fight a Rocky Fielding type opponent one time, and that it, you know, would be for his debut fight. There wouldn't be anything like if, say, I gave Thurman $25 million a fight over four fights, there's no fucking one time a year bullshit, or one time a year then a tune up, then a real fight, then a tune up, or anything like that.
No, I agree, man. I agree. It's tough because, like News said, when it comes to ranking people, man, like I said, I go back. Look at this past weekend, Ugas, man. Like, he'll probably never be in a position to be in the world title to fight again. But like, you got somebody like Danny Garcia, his two big fights at 147, he lost both of them easily, but yet he's still right there.
And right? He openly ducked Terrence Crawford to the $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
his phone battery died when they was calling him. So
yeah, that's what it was. I mean, shout out to Danny Garcia for being a boxer, getting in the ring, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But how can you not accept $4 million to do what you do for a living?
That'll be the biggest fight in your career.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing about that always struck me as odd. Yeah, Terrence Crawford is a bad motherfucker. Like, he's a bad dude. But he has never fought someone with the power that Danny Garcia has. And everyone knows that the knock on Terrence Crawford is his chin might be shaky. So, you know, you have WBC, which is supposed to be like the crown jewel of the belt, right? You have them openly promoting ducking other fighters by putting Danny Garcia up there. And it's just, I don't know, it's crazy. I think they need, I mean, honestly, I think we all agree they need to get rid of four sanctioning bodies and just have one.
Right, but that won't happen. We're too far in the game. We're too far in the dope game now.
Yeah, I mean, we need to make the ringside rave belt, and that's the only belt that matters.
Shit made out of beer and weed.
I mean,
hops and weed.
Seriously, the WBA is going to have a gold belt, a regular belt, and a super champion. Like
on top of its interim belt, which the WBA right. is just a bunch of nonsense right now. It's a lot of nonsense.
And it's hardcore belt.
Yeah. and the rainbow belt and all that stuff.
But all that stuff. I think you just slide in, pause. AP, go ahead and introduce yourself, homie.
What up? You already know this is your boy P. Repping Ringside Raven Bodega Boxing. And I don't know what you guys are talking about. All I heard is WBA. But, like, all I'm thinking is that fucking organization is like, it reminds me of when I was a kid and I used to play the Pokemon games. And you have Pokemon Red, Pokemon Blue, Pokemon Yellow. Like, all the same fucking game, just a different, like, color. That's what the WBA is doing. WBA Red, Blue, Yellow, Bronze, Sapphire. Like, goddamn, just keep it to one belt.
I mean, they're doing the iPhone thing where, like, they're going to change a little something about the next iPhone, like, add like another megapixel to the camera, then put it out and charge $900
for make the SIM card smaller. And yeah. There you go.
But, shout outs to fuck the WBA.
Okay. But let's transition to the last topic of the evening. With the fight that's coming up this week, News, let me ask you, man, between now until they touch gloves before they start the fight, is there anything that you could possibly see happening between now and the weigh-ins and the open workout, press conference, maybe looking back at some fights between recent fights between Spence and Garcia that may sway your opinion about this fight Saturday and who you going with?
No.
Like, or are you dead set and picking who you picking? Like, there's nothing you can see out of the way in. No, oh, somebody look bloated or gas or drained or, you know what I'm saying? Nothing.
Man, there is nothing. There is nothing. Nothing that could make me change my mind about Earl Spence. The only thing I'm wondering is Earl Spence going to knock him out? Is he going to stop him? Is Robert Garcia going to throw in the towel? Like, those are the only three things on my mind. Like,
who's just more about
how we going to close the show?
Do I got to make 48 minutes to pop the champagne, or it's got to be happening in
right.
20
like,
minutes?
Like, yeah. I said this earlier, and I'm going to say this again. And shout out to anybody tuning in now to Ringside Rave, man. Listen, Mikey Garcia hasn't knocked anybody out in over 2 years, and that was at 135. Earl Spence hasn't – nobody has even went the distance with Earl Spence in the last 5 years. Why is Mikey Garcia going to be the one to stop it?
Because Mikey Garcia will be the hardest opponent far and away that Spence has ever fought.
How? He's much smaller than Kell Brook. Kell Brook was built to take that punishment. Mikey Garcia isn't.
Kell Brook is not cut from the same cloth as Mikey Garcia.
Right, he's not. He's not a five. He's not from that five. He's at Mikey's from the small claw.
Nah, bro.
Kell Brook is a large.
Let me ask you: how confident would you be to pick Kell Brook to beat Mikey Garcia to beat Kell Brook? I know this triangle theory.
100%.
No.
Yeah, I mean, no. You guys wouldn't, but yeah, I have 100% confidence in him. For some reason, Mikey Garcia goes and takes on all these challenges, and he accomplishes everything that he tries to do, and yet people continue to doubt him. I mean, did the guy not start at 126? Has he not won every single fight that he's been in? Is he not a four-time champion at four different weight classes? I think the underrating of Mikey Garcia, who is a top five pound-for-pound guy, is crazy because Kell Brook, never a pound-for-pound guy. Maybe he was rated there by the ring, but he does fundamental things incorrectly, right? And Mikey doesn't do anything incorrectly fundamental. So when I say cut from a different cloth, yeah, Kell Brook might be bigger, but... Like I say, skills pay the bills, and it doesn't matter if Mikey hasn't had a knockout in 2 years. He has went over a previously undefeated champion times two, and he beat Adrian Broner, which at the time was not seen as a layup fight.
No, yes, they wouldn't say a layup, but they come on, bro.
Broner is even small compared to Errol Spence.
Are we seriously gonna say that Adrian Broner was not a favorite of many people?
No, what we're saying is Adrian Broner.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah,
Earl Spence. He's small. Earl Spence Adrian Broner could melt down to 135. I mean, back to 140. Earl Spence is 5'9". Look at Adrian Broner next to Earl Spence, man. Listen, that's why it's getting closer, baby. That's why it's getting closer.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, only one person's truth can be told.
Yep, and Mikey's going to be spitting the truth.
So basically, you on Mikey.
Yeah, I said it Mel, I apologize. You weren't with us last night. I got Mikey 7-5 or 8-1, 4-1.
You know,
yeah. Then I said before. Sometimes a fighter is just too big, no matter the skill, and that is what I'm seeing. That's the vibe I'm getting. That's the Triple D Brook vibe I'm getting. Well, so that's what's going to happen.
Pat is the one who consistently tells me that boxing is the theater of the unexpected. And I am going with skills pay the bills. Now, that is not a knock on Errol Spence, because Errol Spence is a beast. He's a very good fighter. It's just that Mikey has that transcendent talent. Really? So,
transcendent?
Who was the last person he even had a close fight with?
Well, I mean, I seen your boy kind of not finish that Salido fight.
And it's going to be worse this Saturday.
That was, what, 7 years ago? And
hey, bro, I'm answering the question. That's all I'm saying, dog.
He knocked Salido down 5 times, broke his jaw, and then Salido went. Well, anyway, my whole thing is you guys will very much stop underrating Mikey Garcia after Saturday night. And, yeah, I'm going with Mikey on points.
It's weird because we're not underrating Mikey Garcia. I just think he's shortchanging Spence.
I forgot what Errol Spence could do. But wait till after the fight. All of it's, it's going to be a whole bunch of, Spence was just too big.
I already said before, Mikey will get all the credit in the world, if he beats Spence, because he'll shame the hell out of the PBC 147 welters. But if Spence beats Mikey, it's what's supposed to happen. I'm not going to give Spence any credit for it because
it's broke Triple G.
Conversely, I don't agree with that because Mikey will be far and away the most difficult fighter that Spence has fought in his entire life. So if this was 19, I don't know when the weight class has changed, but people used to jump from 135 to 147 all the time. Now, granted, they weren't doing it and putting 20 pounds back on overnight. But to think that this fight is so one-sided, and I just don't see it that way. And maybe that's because I'm a huge Mikey Garcia fan, or maybe it's because my boxing eyes are telling me something. But, yeah, we'll be here. We'll find out what happens on Saturday evening, and I'll be here like a man if my boy loses. And when he wins, I'll be here to talk that shit.
This fight is like a roller coaster, dog. And this is like a roller coaster where if you could just go in line and no wait and ride it, you'd have no problems. But, you get in line, you wait a little bit, and you'd be like, maybe this. Maybe, I don't know, this, that, and the third. That's all I think this fight is, though. I think the longer we got to wait for this fight, the more people starting to – maybe Mikey can do it.
Man,
or maybe Errol Spence don't move his head enough. Maybe he don't. That's what I'm seeing.
I think people just talking themselves into it. You know how sometimes it's
right.
Like
a roller coaster.
I'll put it like this, like you say in the roller coaster. It's like when sometimes people do get on the roller coaster. And it's like when people do get in the motor. Is that my mic? Whose mic is that?
I don't know. I just muted mine.
I don't know what that was.
That was Pat.
Okay.
That might have been me because I walked from inside to outside, so reception changed. So my apologies.
So yeah, it is just like a roller coaster ride, man. But it's from the perspective of them people who have motion sickness, and they talk themselves into getting on the roller coaster, thinking just this time is going to be different.
Yeah.
I think that maybe, and then guess what? You end up sick to your stomach. Like normal, because that's what we're going to be on Saturday after the carnage that Spence is going to inflict on Mikey Garcia. It's like putting a mouse in the cage with a cobra. We ain't talking, we talking cobra style.
Go ahead, Pete.
I just love it how nowadays, like now for this fight, like size doesn't matter. It's all about skills. And if we want to talk about, the past times when people would jump up to 130 before there was a 140, before there was those filler divisions where you would jump from 135 to 147. If this were the old days, Spence wouldn't even be at 147. He'd be a goddamn middleweight at 160, first of all.
Right.
Second of all, if we want to go that route, let's put it like this. One of the greatest fighters of all time, Roberto Duran, hands of stone, at one of the greatest fighters of all time, pound for pound, And he went up from lightweight to welterweight to middleweight, you started seeing that he was losing to guys that were not in his class at all. And that's an all-time great in Roberto Duran. So size has always mattered. And Spence is not a nobody. Spence is the top guy in his division, a bigger division.
Smoke, let me ask you this, Smoke.
What's up?
Would you, if Usyk and Anthony Joshua was made tomorrow, who would you pick?
That's a tough one.
I don't think so.
That's me.
I don't think so. Well,
so I mean,
because I'm using your logic, because Usyk is more skilled.
No, that's
but Joshua
tough,
is bigger.
That's a really that's a tough fight. I don't know. That's 60-40 AJ to me, but that's no way a gimme fight. Just because Usyk is like what 210, that's a no way a gimme fight.
Right, because I pick Usyk too, but I don't even want to talk about that fight yet.
I mean, smoke. Think about it like this. You know, our boy Better Be extremely skilled. Uh-huh. Tyler, we think he's the best in the 175 division.
Right.
What if he went up to heavyweight? Against less skilled guys, he would still get knocked out.
Right.
So we can't act like size doesn't have any effect.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm getting at.
So in both examples that you guys brought up, well, actually, the Usyk one is a perfect example because Usyk is one of the most skilled fighters in the game today, just like Mikey is. And so I will go with skills pay the bills. And, yeah, Errol Spence is going to have a size advantage, like, for sure. But is it going to be big enough to to overshadow the gap of skill disparity? I don't know.
And that's so, where I'm just saying, I think that's where we disagree.
Yeah, and so look, I am one of the few people that is riding with Mikey Garcia, and Mikey Garcia is my favorite fighter. However, I have, as the fight has developed and it has come, you know, we had to wait for 7 months.
As the wait time in the ride for the roller coaster increase.
Right. You see things that maybe you didn't before. And so Mikey Garcia saw something before he even fought Robert Easter Jr., okay? He saw something in Errol Spence a year ago that made him say, I want this fight, okay?
That's true.
Mikey Garcia has more boxing IQ than every one of us put together, multiplied by a million, okay? So there's something there. Whether he's able to exploit it and whether he's able to come away with the victory, that's to be seen. But, you know, I'm not going to let go of all the secrets on Tuesday when we still have Wednesday and Thursday to get into it. But, yeah, I'll put it again. Smoke has Mikey by points.
News Gator.
I mean, like it all sounds good. You know, it all sounds like that's like the underdog speech before you realize it ain't the movies. And it's real life.
and you really
stick your hand in there or try to come over that barrier, that jaguar gum, take care of your ass. That's what's about to happen. Because Errol Spence is that caged animal in there. Mikey Garcia, again, he may have been the man, but it's just like, and I put it in because a lot of people are sports fans. You put it in sports terms. This is like, yeah, okay, you average 29, you average 30 points per game, but that was D2 basketball.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a different level. It's a different level, even at D1. Mikey Garcia is going up another level. He's going to play another level, and he's facing a top facing a dude. It ain't like Mikey Garcia is number one pound for pound. He's number seven. Errol Spence, number 10. It's like it's not like anybody's idea of them is like it's really far apart. It's just Mikey Garcia's been here for a long time. And people say he's this, that, but Errol Spence has that same reputation. He's that dude.
I guess we'll see on Saturday.
I just disagree with the notion that Mikey is that much more skilled than Spence, that the gap is that wide that it overcomes the size. Because
if they were the same size, it would just be a whitewashing for Mikey.
I think so.
If they were the same size, I could see somebody favoring Mikey, but they're not the same size. So you can't, and it's not like, and I don't even, the crazy part is, no, I don't even fuck with Spence like that, but motherfuckers are treating him like he's a black margarita. And no disrespect to margarita, but Spence is a different level above than margarita. He's not margarita. He's better than that. I don't even like Spence, but I'm not going to sit here and act like he's basic, because he's not.
So, Pat, there's basically nothing that Spence can do, in your opinion, to garner, like, props for this win, if he were to win.
No. It's keeping my same energy. PBC should have made an effort to get him and one of these other welters, especially the champs, into the ring instead of going through this nonsense. So,
like, you'd be more here for it if it was Mikey and Thurman.
Yeah, Mikey Thurman, you know, Mikey. Actually, no, not Mikey Thurman. Not Mikey Thurman. Excuse me. It's Spence. Spence Porter, Spence Thurman, something like that.
No, I'm saying if Mikey were to jump up and fight Thurman, would you feel more like, okay, I get it.
unless Mikey actually, you know, fights the fight, because he has fights at 135 and had fights at 140 for that matter. You know, I just don't want to see, I mean, there's fights that I want to see in those different divisions rather than this nonsense. Because no one really asked for this fight, except for Mikey, you know, and it's just like, you know, I just do not want to see fights like this.
So, fight night, Smoke, what weight should Mikey be at? What weight do you think he'd be comfortable him to walk to the ring as?
Mid-150s. Something like that. Maybe 160.
I'm more interested in seeing what his build is going to be like. Because if he walks into the ring like he usually has with that usual skinny fat build, I'm going to shake my head. I'm just going to shake my head and walk away.
Was that news who started that skinny fat? Like, who is that, man?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think Skip started that shit.
Yeah, somebody said it, man.
Because he is. Like, if you notice every time, he doesn't have any defined build to him. He's not muscular. No, like,
he didn't start that. He is skinny fat himself. He didn't start that. That's what Pat was calling him. Mikey just so happened to be built the same way. Both skinny fat dudes. And that's what it is, man. And Mikey Garcia is about to blow himself up with these Victor Conte. The Mikey Garcia fans want him to blow himself up and go up here and get his balloon deflated, and that's what's about to happen.
Calling him the Barry Bonds of boxing. I didn't forget that.
Oh man, if Mikey Garcia wins, he gotta have that name. But too bad he won't win. So the name is still up for grabs.
And that's all, folks. So, news. Well, everybody, you know, final thoughts. We go ahead and check out, man.
All right, y'all. It's me. Y'all know me. It's your boy, Smoke. Like I said, I'm riding with Mikey on points on this one. If you want to check out more from me, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Free Smoke Boxing, or catch me on the Fade Hour a couple nights a week. Holla at me.
Yeah, what's good, y'all? It's Pat Scorpio, the New England representative. And you know me, man. I mean, all you have to do is just go to your favorite search engine, type in PA, and it'll fill in for you, man. But, check me out, Ring Gang Radio stuff, you know, my Twitter, my personal Instagram, all of that shit, man. So, yeah, man, just holler at me.
What up? You already know, this is your boy, P. You know, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bodega Boxing. You already know.
Yeah, man. Again, this is your host, the Golden Boy Mall. Yeah, man. When y'all get a second, check out Champ Size YouTube page, man. It featured tonight news, and it featured Smoke on there, man.
Yeah.
In the spirited debate about the upcoming fight, man. And definitely a good listen. So y'all check that out.
Yes, sir. And I guess it's on me. And it's that time, the call of the rap for the night. But I like to say, I like to thank my fellas all for coming through. P for stepping through, Smoke for stepping through, Maul, of course, Pat, of course. It's your boy News representing Ringside Rave. I'd like to thank all the fans that tune in. Y'all can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Now we're back on Instagram. Yes, sir. At Ringside Rave. Sorry, at Ringside_Rave is what the handle is. Follow us on Twitter and YouTube, Instagram. Check us out, the podcast on Spotify, iTunes. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter as well at RSR News. But that's it for tonight. We'll be here tomorrow because tomorrow is the media workout, right?
Yeah, the workout.
Okay, so then we get to see a little more of what they're looking like, and then we come back here, meet up around the round table again, fellas, and, you know.
We'll go from there.
Yes, sir. So with that being said, I'd like to thank again everybody for tuning in, everybody for joining us. Hope you had a good time, and we out.
Peace. We out.